This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Resolution, Michael. Resolution. Brendan Sorsby will enter the supplemental draft. He is out of college football. The Big 12 won the day. What does that mean going forward? The Rockies, heartbreaker last night. Michael, my guy, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies will talk to us later. J.K. Dobbins makes a bow, Mike. And there's one player, fairly local, that thinks the Broncos still wouldn't have won even if they had Bo Nix in the AFC Championship. Wow, we got a lot to unpack today. The whole show starts right now. After the 11 o'clock hour, it would seem that the Brendan Sorsby NCAA Texas Tech Big 12 saga is over. Quarterback Brendan Sorsby plans to apply for NFL supplemental draft. That happened quickly after the Big 12 kind of stepped in and said, hey, sanctions are possible here. We're talking as a conference to figure out how to potentially keep Texas Tech maybe from competing in the Big 12 championship if they were to get that far. It's wild. So his decision, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN, Sorsby's decision to leave Tech and pursue the NFL marks an about-face, as he had been granted a temporary injunction by a Texas judge on June 8th, Mike. That appeared to clear the path for him to play for Texas Tech this year. He'd been ruled ineligible by the NCAA, blah, blah, blah. We know the story. And then you have the Texas Attorney General a few days ago send out a letter to the Big 12 threatening them, a preemptive threat, saying, hey, if you do something, we'll be ready. But then the Big 12 came out and said, hey, we're meeting about this. We are meeting about this, and there's a chance we all agree, we do not want teams to have players on their team that have gambled in the sports world. We just don't want, especially when they've done it on their own team. Here's Kirby Hokut, the athletic director for Texas Tech University. Earlier this evening, Texas Tech University Board of Regents Chairman Cody Campbell issued an update on Brendan Sorsby and announced that he will not be a member of the Red Raider football team this fall. When Brendan's lawsuit resulted in the granting of a temporary injunction, we found ourselves in a difficult situation. With his health and wellness our top priority, we supported him in spite of very different perspectives and opinions. Our position was challenged by many, but our support for him never changed. We will continue to extend all available resources that Brendan has as a student, or had as a student, and athlete to ensure his transition is as successful as possible. I mean, this is changing quick, Mike. You know, prediction time. Texas Tech, they came out with this round table last week where the president spoke, the AD spoke, the coach spoke. I mean, we went from the president of Texas Tech saying, you know, maybe the rules should change because, you know, he got caught. It's easy to gamble now on your phone, so maybe we should change the rules, to now they are announcing that he will no longer be a member of Red Raider football this fall. Now, this is something to note here. Because what did Mark tell us yesterday? What did he tell us, Michael? that he thought Cody Campbell should do? He thought Board of Regents Chairman Cody Campbell should pay him off, should just pay him $5 million to go away and end this thing? Well, here's a note if you're following that. I don't even want to call it a conspiracy theory. But Campbell said that Texas Tech will not seek the return of any money paid to Sorsby through his NIL with the university. Any of his NIL agreements that were with the university, they will not seek a return. So it would lead one to believe that they're basically saying, here's the money, don't pay us back. There's so much heat right now on us. Here's my question. Who made the decision? Was it Brendan Sorsby's decision? Was it Texas Tech's decision? I mean, one side of my brain can definitely go to with Sorsby. Maybe better judgment prevailed, and he looked at it and said, I am going to cost this team that I transferred to something. I'm going to cost them something. Already a bad reputation. I've already done that. But if the Big 12 comes in, and Brent Yormark actually comes in and says you can't play in the Big 12 championship game, meaning there's no path to the college football playoffs, meaning a lot of donors that were donating money and funds this year might not donate if that's what it's all about, is to donate to get your team to the point where they're good enough to go to the college football playoffs. Is it possible that Sorsby and his camp finally just said, you know what, we've done enough and we should end this? Or was it Texas Tech on their side saying, dude, listen, we are taking so much heat. We're supporting you. Don't want to get sued. But we can't fight this battle. Because if the Big 12 comes in and keeps us from competing this year, from actually, you know, from basically we play games for nothing. We would play games with no meaning. Can you do us a solid? Here's your check. Here's your NIL dollars that you were supposed to get. Here it is. You have until June 22nd to enter the supplemental draft. And if this goes any further and somehow we get blocked out of competing for the Big 12 championship, we may have to act. Who do you think decided? Who made the ultimate decision here that Sorsby would bow out? He dropped his lawsuit. He will bow out. He will not be eligible, which you have to be. You cannot be eligible for college sports to enter college football to enter the supplemental draft. So he dropped his lawsuit. So that is done. He is no longer eligible to play college football. Who made the decision?
I think it's a little bit of column A and column B. I think Sorsby was probably getting some heat, possibly online. He's looking at the news going, ooh, is everybody against me? And then Texas Tech was like, dude, everybody's against you. Like, this is bad. We know that you've got an addiction, but...
Do you want to hear my conspiracy on this? Brendan Sorsby admitted to gambling in April, correct? April of 2026. He admitted to everything. He said, I have a gambling problem. I've bet over $90,000. I placed 40 bets on my own team in April. Supplemental draft is June 22nd. The deadline to enter it, excuse me, is June 22nd. Is there any part of your brain that wonders if he knew his gambling was going to get out, that it was going to get found out? So he tried to get out in front of it. And maybe with the proper lawyers and everything, they said, here's the deal. If you want to play, if the NFL thinks you're gambling on sports, you're not going to get in there, man. Because look what they do to players that gamble on sports.
Just generic sports, not the NFL.
Yes.
Generic sports.
Yeah, so you're not going to get in. Your best bet is to get out in front of this. You've already transferred to Texas Tech. Say you have a gambling problem. I'm not saying he doesn't have a gambling addiction, but lean in on that. Call it a mental health disorder. And when the NCAA blocks you out, we'll sue the NCAA. You'll say that you'll go to rehab to get this better. And then by the time the supplemental draft rolls around, the NFL will look at you and say, yeah, no, you've cleaned your act up in 3 months. Is there any part of your brain that goes on that journey, that maybe this was a plan for him to get in? Because I've seen this online. Was this a plan for him to get into the NFL all along without the question of gambling being the question, which it still will be? 3 months, Not enough time to really rehab something as serious as Sorsby's claiming it is. But is there a possibility that that was somewhat of the plan from the get-go? That's conspiracy, but...
That's a little too complicated.
Is it?
I feel like it's more straight up. He signed with Texas Tech. He wants to play. It's just simpler. The non-conspiracy theory is just way too simple for it to not be true.
Mike, logically, even before the Texas judge ruled that he could play this year and that they'd hear it again after the season, wouldn't the easy thing in your brain tell you there's no way they're going to allow you to play football? Do you think he really thought at the beginning of this, once he admitted to gambling, that he would be allowed to play college football?
Well, there's a difference, but I think you're giving him too much credit. I don't know how smart he is. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Him coming out and admitting his gambling is a good thing. Not necessarily for him, but for his mental health, it's a good thing. Now, whether you were saying earlier they were going to find out or not, you know, I think it's more on him and his camp. Like, I think you had too many people going, dude, I don't know about this.
It's just a far cry from what Texas Tech was. Last week, Mike, it felt like the Texas Attorney General, Texas Tech themselves, like they sounded like they were prepared to go to battle and see this through. Didn't they?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
But Brady, would you want to be the center of a very controversial, polarizing lawsuit?
No.
You wouldn't.
Here, I want to read to you what I wrote, Michael, last night on the Twitters. I said this Sorsby story should be a movie, a short one, maybe like an hour and a half. What the hell was this? Last week, it felt like the entire state of Texas was ready to embrace the villain role and fight this to the end. We had that disgusting roundtable of Texas Tech higher-ups do their best to justify everything. The attorney general stepped in and preemptively threatened the Big 12. Then, like magic, they were done. Sorsby will try to go pro, and Texas Tech will quickly attempt to wash this away and no doubt say that their next quarterback is the one and that Sorsby was never really going to play in the first place, while slowly slipping in that gambling is bad, but mental health is super important. They will support him on this journey, but also try to distance themselves from this as soon as possible. I'll admit, Texas Tech was thrust into the old rockin' hard place situation. Sorsby kind of likes to sue. And they didn't want any part of that. So they had to kind of kiss his and do the poor boy act, while trying desperately to claim he might not play as his recovery would dictate everything. But they botched it. Their president botched it. Their coach botched it. Now Sorsby is done. They will move on. And we're back to the other messes we were looking at before this lit the NCAA on fire.
Yeah, I think Texas Tech did botch it. If they had done it right, they would have said it's a mental health issue. Yeah. Also, it's about breaking the rules.
They will
let the courts decide.
They could have come out of this, because there's a part of me that's kind of like, I don't blame Texas Tech, really. I get where they were. Mike, you have a player coming to you and saying it out loud publicly that I have a mental health disorder. It is a severe gambling addiction. Texas Tech hears that and goes, if we kick him off the team, does that make us look bad? Right? Does that make us look bad that we weren't supporting him? But if we keep him on the team, does that make us look bad that we're allowing a guy that's gambling on sports, his teams, to be kind of the face of our team next season? They were put in between a rock and a hard place. They were. The problem is the things that they were saying were not calculated like they should have been. The coach coming out saying it's not murder. He's not beating someone. The president coming out and saying, I've urged the NCAA to perhaps edit their rules when it comes to gambling because it's so much easier.
Do these idiots need Roger Goodell to go explain to them what is so wrong about this situation?
It should have been. There never should have been a round table when you're when the coach has to answer to it, and you do. I get that. It has to simply be quick, and you say he has a mental health disorder. We're taking it seriously. We don't know that much about it right now, but we are investigating everything. For the time being, he is on this team.
Yeah, this sounds like a PR nightmare.
It.
But what people keep forgetting is there's a difference between something off the field, which can be terrible, and doing something that could affect the on-the-field play. There is a stark difference. I know it's not murder. I know it's not hitting your wife, but it's still bad, and it affects the game more than, you know, those other felonies.
Was
do.
This the Big 12 putting pressure on both parties? Did the Big 12 do this?
I think the Big 12 certainly helped.
I think so.
And I think, you know what, Big 12, good for you.
Yes, the conferences have all the power, and finally we see a conference use that power in a good way. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub texting in on the First Advantage text line. There was way too much negative attention, and they knew it. They knew it was best to part ways. He was caught, then he admitted and said it was an addiction. So he was caught before, or did he admit it? I'm hazy on it, and that's probably the truth. He was caught, and then he fully admitted it. Big Hub also says he was caught. Oh, yeah, I got you. Eastside Chris texting in. Brady, I heard there are odds out for which team picks up Sorsby in the supplemental draft. Jets at 3-2. Do you think he laid down some money on a team? If Billy Bob, who is a backup offensive lineman, declares he has gambled on games, would this get notoriety, or would he be discharged from the school? This would get notoriety, and if he had the right lawyer, then it would do exactly what Brendan Sorsby's situation did. I mean, it's all about if you have the right lawyer. So some of you saying, hey, if this wasn't a star quarterback, which you can't use that term loosely, if this wasn't a star quarterback, this would be a nothing burger. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I've seen stories of guys that aren't necessarily amazing college football players, but they have lawsuits out there. I mean, Michael, was Jeremy Bloom a great college football player?
No.
He was fine, right? He's a special teams guy.
He existed in the NFL.
He was in the NCAA, you mean. He was fine. But his story was a big one because he was also with an Olympic skier, and I get all that. But still, if you're an offensive lineman that nobody knows, the story would come out, and then if he hired the right lawyer, then Texas Tech would be forced to do the same thing. I know there's that belief of, well, he had 27 touchdowns. They're fighting for their guy. Mike, when student athletes are throwing terms around like mental health addictions and then kind of threatening to sue the NCAA, the school has to be very careful too. Here's the thing, man, my final take on this one for the day is I actually believe Texas Tech, other than saying a few stupid things, they weren't the enemy in this. I don't believe they were the enemy. I don't hate Texas Tech. I hate how they handled it. I hate how they did the roundtable. They shouldn't have done that. They should have had one person speak and basically say, this is a serious thing. We are taking his mental health addiction seriously. We're looking into it. A judge has deemed him eligible to play. We're not going to kick him out. We can't do that. We're not going to do it. And we will let the next couple of months, we'll see. We'll talk to Brendan about maybe other options. Or there's really nothing positive they could have said, Michael, to save this for them, but they certainly couldn't. They certainly could have buttoned it up a little tighter so it didn't look worse.
This is a marketing flub. They need to fire their marketing department.
Yeah, the whole let's get around the table and discuss. It just fell flat. It wasn't good. Head coach coming out saying, Coach McGuire. Here's what Joey McGuire said. I sent you that, Michael. Here's what he said last. This was just last week. Here's Joey McGuire.
Brendan Sorsby is recovering from an addiction. He's recovering. Like, I've sat down with this young man multiple times, and the things that he is going through and what he's been through is serious. As a society, we've been okay with other things that happens and allowing players to play, and this has been the one thing that has united people that they were against, you know. And it's crazy because it's not murder. It's not beating somebody. There's a lot of things that we're working through.
The problem with what he said there, Mike, how did he start that off? He is dealing with a serious addiction. And then he made it sound like it was serious, right? If it's that serious, he shouldn't be around the sport. He shouldn't be around the sport that caused him this addiction. Now, again, people with addictive personalities, it might not be sports gambling, it could be something else, but this is what his vice was. The major vice was gambling on sports when it was illegal to do so in the NCAA's eyes.
Affects the game. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Affects
yeah.
the game.
So for them to say this is, and I don't even know how you would have done it. I don't know how you would have done it. I don't know what Texas Tech would have said to make it better. But for the coach to come out and say, Brendan Sorsby is dealing with a serious addiction, serious mental health issue. I'm sorry, but when I hear that, if that's anyone else, if it's Michael Kirkpatrick is dealing with a serious drinking problem, which you're not, by the way, he's dealing with a serious drinking problem, then I would be very upset with you and let down if you were out at a brewery the next day. I know it's not as simple as that, but it's crazy. Big Hub, come on, Brady. He didn't beat any woman or speed. He just gambled on the game and ruined the integrity. That's all. Yeah, but if you beat a woman and you get caught for it, you get in trouble. You know? Jonathan Cooper is going to court right now because of what allegedly happened between him and his girlfriend. This is ruining the integrity of the game, and if you ruin the integrity of the game, you ruin the business of the game, and we don't have the business. And I am not over-exaggerating that point. If gambling becomes a thing, and it's just known that you're fixing games, and it's actually okay, we're going to allow it, you get a game suspension, people will stop watching. That is the one thing that will make people stop watching. We've seen the NFL, the NBA, all these sports go up and down. 2020 was a crazy time. We had people kneeling in, during the national anthem and all that, and you had one side that's like, oh, I'm never watching again, and then they're watching like a week later. You have guys that go out and do something really bad, and it's like, oh, man, those guys are just bad people. I don't know if I could support that. And then you're watching like a week later. But if you're watching the game and you think that it might be predetermined— why do you think the WWF fought so hard for so many years to say that it was not fake? Like, it was tongue-in-cheek, but they didn't want people to think it was actually fake, even though it was fake always. But they never wanted to admit it. And then they finally owned it because it was too goofy to cover up for that long. And it was like, yeah, it's kind of fake, but it's entertainment. It's fun. We do this. They didn't want it. They didn't want to lose ratings. They didn't want to lose eyeballs. If you watch a Broncos-Giants game and you have it in your mind that there's a potential chance that this game is fixed, that there's a player active right now on that roster that gambles and they're okay with it, NFL, NCAA, it will make you not watch the game.
A whole new storyline for that 33-30 win. Was it 33-30, 33-32?
Yes, something like that, yeah.
Like, that changes the headline.
Because then
the headlines in both Denver and New York will be saying, gambling?
See, right now it's all tongue-in-cheek. When Sean Payton decided to go for it with Jarrett Stidham on a quarterback keeper instead of kicking a field goal, it's tongue-in-cheek. There's some people out there like, ooh, you know, Sean Payton must have money on this game. But if we allow players to gamble, and we only give them like a game suspension, but we know they've done it, then that tongue-in-cheek joke becomes a reality of I'll never trust Sean Payton again. And now, again, he didn't do any of this stuff. I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah, and going back to comparing something that affects the game to a murder, those two are way different.
Murder is worse than gambling. We all agree. Murder is worse than gambling. But only one of those can ruin the business. If you murder someone, that ruins your life.
And that person's and their family.
And families around, and it gives you a bad image, but it doesn't bring the game down. If you gamble, and the leagues allow it, and they don't suspend guys or kick them out of the league, Jonte Porter, if he suits up for an NBA game next year, people are going to have an issue with that. So that's why when we say this, yes, murder, speeding, beating up people, those are all way worse than gambling. They are. But one of those doesn't ruin the sport and or the business. The other one does. And if you can't see the difference there, I can't help you.
Yeah, if enough people call the NFL into question, if enough people are saying, hey, I don't trust the results of this game because that referee had money on it, or that quarterback had money on it, or the coach had money on it, suddenly it's not a real sport. Suddenly it's the WWE.
It's WWE. Yes, that's exactly right.
And you cannot, as a league, have a WWE reputation. There are already people who believe that. In the gambling world, by the way, there are already people who think that the NFL is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Big Hub brings up, you know, the James Pierce story. The edge rusher for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he's back with the team and expected to take part in this week's minicamp. He's been absent because he had an arrest in February on charges that included aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after he allegedly rammed his vehicle into a car driven by his ex-girlfriend, WNBA player Rekia Jackson. Last month, Pierce was approved by a Florida court for a one-year diversion program avoiding trial. Now you say, like Big Hub says, wait a second. Like, you go with the James Pierce thing, you go with what he did compared to what Brendan Sorsby did, one of those is worse than the other, correct? Yes.
Morally, yes.
Yes. But what James Pierce did does not affect you to not watch the games. I know that sounds really hollow, and that sounds really, it just sounds bad. It does. I get it. But what James Pierce did is an isolated incident. Are they going to allow him to play? That's on the general manager. That's on the Falcons organization. And it's also, yeah, the NFL has to make a decision here. But we know that is not going to ruin consumer trust in the game. What Brendan Sorsby did would potentially ruin the consumer trust.
Yeah, absolutely. You just can't have that.
You can't have it.
We fans are keeping them in business. If we fans start doubting the business,
yeah,
then there is no more business.
Yeah, if you
and
doubt
that doesn't
the business,
just affect the NFL. That's going to start affecting other leagues.
People that commit crimes, it's bad. It's bad for the team. It's bad looks, all that stuff. But if it's not ruining the business, because Big Hub, are you going to not watch the Falcons play football next year if James Pierce is on the team? My guess is you'll probably say, I will still watch. But if you found out that James Pierce was placing a $5,000 wager on the Falcons to lose a game, you find that out, does that make you kind of go, ooh, and he still played? Again, I know it's the NFL, it's the NCAA, but that's what would happen. Every Texas Tech game you see with Brendan Sorsby, you would have it in the back of your mind, I wonder if he's gambled on this game, or if anybody else on that roster has gambled. Because we just had the story of Alabama State, four basketball players were given $2,000 to throw a game. It is happening. And if you allow it to happen, then it's going to run rampant.
There's a great Key and Peele sketch that's kind of like this, where you have like everybody from different teams and the referees getting together and going, oh, man, I want him to get that first down because I have him on my fantasy team. Oh, really? Well, I have you only getting a certain number of yards because I have you on my fantasy team. And then the ref comes in and I have this guy on my fantasy team. That's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like a hilarious Keen's Peel sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why this was such a, we have to take a break, but this was such a big issue, way beyond all the other issues surrounding college sports and or sports, that it was ridiculous, the notion that Brendan Sorsby could play. Let's talk more. 35 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio. Free tickets.
It's free, right?
Daily updates. When it comes to the Greeley Stampede, KFKA has you covered. Here's Stampede coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Greeley Recreation on June 19th through June 21st for a lineup of free activities celebrating milestone anniversaries of the Greeley Ice House, Family Funplex, Discovery Bay Water Park, and Family Field Day. It's a three-day adventure. We'll give the whole family entertainment, exploration, and it's all free. Pool, swimming, outdoor, skating, mini golf, snack, all of it. Simply pick up a passport at one of the locations, attend one event each day, get your passport stamped, and turn your passport in for prizes. Your adventure awaits. Go to GreeleyRec.com for all the details. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, really frustrating loss last night for the Colorado Rockies. We were on pace. If they would have won last night, man, I didn't think they were going to sweep the Cubs by any stretch, but it would still be alive, the idea of them getting to 30 wins by June 17th. That's out the window now. The Rockies were up 4-2 in the eighth inning and lost 5-4.
Yeah, they gave someone else a birthday present.
Yeah, it started with Vodnik. He gave up the run in the eighth. Juan Mejia came in and kind of bailed him out in the eighth. And then in the ninth, just an absolute poop show. And he loads the bases. Warren Schaefer decides to take him out and go with Halverson. And with the bases loaded, a walk. And they literally walked off the game and won. The Rockies have had a lot of devastating losses this year, Michael. But I guess, you know, we're talking about this team being just a couple plays away from, you know, instead of a 27-win team, maybe they're a 37-win team. There's still positives surrounding this team, but the closing, the bullpen is rough, is really rough. But how about Cole Kerrig? I mean, the dude has just been amazing since starting out. He's had a hit in every game but two in his first seven games. So this guy is the real deal. Three home runs already. He's really fun to watch. 40 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. Man, told you. Every year, same thing, mid-June. Get ready for the 90-degree days, Michael. Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure your air conditioner is ready for the battle ahead this summer. Give them a call today, 970-567-0798, or visit them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So, I mean, the Rockies game was tough. Also, you get Pete Crow Armstrong hitting the reverse cycle, Michael. Michael, we're rhyming today. That's tough. I mean, he became the first player in the majors to hit for the cycle this season. He homered to lead off the game against the Rockies. Then he hit a triple. Then he hit a double in the fifth, and then a single in the seventh. And yet, the Rockies were still in the lead for a moment. He's the first player to accomplish the feat since Twins center fielder Byron Buxton last July. and the first Cubs player since teammate Carson Kelly last March. Crow Armstrong is the 13th player in franchise history to hit for the cycle and the youngest since Randy Hundley in 1966. So it took that kind of effort to beat the Rockies, Mike. That's how good this team is. This is, you know, take some historical performances, historic performances from players to beat the Rockies.
Hey, at least they're not losing 21 to nothing.
No, they're, dude, the Rockies are much better. They're much improved. But it still doesn't, you know, it's still wins and losses at the end of the day. And they've had, I don't know what the count is now, but our guy Spencer Smith will update us from DNVR Rockies. The count of infuriating losses, that had to be one of them last night. The Rockies have had a lot of those, man. Where they're up in the third or in the eighth inning or ninth inning and they just give it away. The closing situation for the Rockies continues to be a bit difficult. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Michael, an update for you. We were talking about the new movie coming out that we both want to see, Disclosure Day. Big Hub texted me in and said it was not good. He said it just wasn't very good. That makes me sad. Because I really kind of looking forward to that. And I know you were looking forward to it. We were going to go together. And now that's probably not going
to
happen.
I'm going to see what the experts have to say.
Big Hubs
81%
is
on Rotten Tomatoes.
What does that
mean? Check the...
Does that mean 81% of the Rotten Tomato reviewers liked it?
They have it. I think at least it has to be at least 6. On IMDb, which I think is more honest because it's of the people, it's a 6.8. And usually a 7 is when people kind of enjoy it.
Mm. So maybe not worth the time.
Well, I was going to watch it. I was going to not go outside and watch it from home.
Okay.
When it comes to like
the streaming
service
that I have. You don't
want to go to the movie
theater? We go to the theater. You and me.
Right
day
now,
out,
let's go.
Day out to the theater. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Coming up, we got the top stories of the day. Spencer Smith will join us. J.K. Dobbins is making a pretty big prediction for the upcoming season. We'll get into that. A local-ish player doesn't believe that the Patriots would have lost to the Broncos even if Bo Nix was playing in the AFC Championship game. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. That was Sean Keeler's article this morning in the Denver Post. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The summer months can be busy. Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Warren Schaefer, he's taking the losses pretty tough, Mike. Listen to this question from the reporter. It's really quick. You have to pay it. You don't have it. Do you have it? Reporter from MLB.com asking Schaefer something, and he was very perplexed by the question because it didn't sound like a question. But you can just tell Warren's starting to get kind of like he's on edge. Here he is.
If this game is hard to play, you know, straight up, but when you allow 9 walks and air in the last couple of innings to give him some free runs, it's not something that the Rockies pride themselves on.
No. You're asking, is that a question?
Yeah.
I mean, like, is that his opinion? And he pretends to put a question mark at the end?
And then he goes, is that a question? Yeah. He's like, You gave up 9 walks and... Here, play the question again. I want to hear the question again.
If this game is hard to play, you know, straight up, but when you allow 9 walks and air in the last couple of innings to give him some free runs, it's not something that the Rockies pride themselves on.
No. You're asking, is that a question?
Yeah.
I mean, it really did not sound like... When I was listening
to
that, I got angry.
What is he supposed to say? Yeah, no, actually, we do pride ourselves on that. We love nine walks and free runs and errors. We pride ourselves on that.
If I was him, I would have said, objection, leading the witness.
That's a tough question.
It's a stupid question.
And then Warren's kind of like, it's because it wasn't really a question. It was like, that's not something the Rockies pride themselves on.
Was this from one of those unprofessional bloggers?
I honestly don't know who it was. I get it. That's a tough gig sometimes, and especially when coaches and managers are pissed off. But, Yeah, I mean, I'd rather the old talk about the nine walks question rather than, nine walks and free runs, and that's not something the Rockies pride themselves on.
It sounded like he acted like the coach acted like Prime, because Prime's always like, snap at the media. But this guy deserved to get snapped
really snap.
On.
He didn't snap. He answered the question and said, is that a question? Yeah, I think you're right, Aaron. I bet that question sounded a lot better in his head than it did out loud. We do that. We get lost in a question sometimes, and then you just go on the journey, and then you end it, and you're like, oh my gosh, that sounded awful. So, hey, listen, mistakes happen. I just thought it was funny. Best part about it was the end when Warren Schaefer goes, yeah, wait, is that a question? Yeah. It's almost like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that was a question.
Prime would have gone off on him.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? It's Warren Schaefer. I like Warren Schaefer. I didn't like what he did last night, though. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.